So if you remember a little of what we said, we studied, although superficially, but yet we said a few things about Satan, who he is, where he's coming from, and what he is doing, what are his strategies, and why he is so fierce against the kingdom of God and his people. Now we are at the stage where we are to ask, how do we react to this? What are we to do? Are we hopeless, or do we have any hope? Do we have to live in fear, or do we have to trust the Lord? Of course, the last is the answer. We need to hear and to believe what God tells us to do. For we have learned Satan is defeated on the cross. So, as an introduction, my first idea was to look at the armor of God that we have read in this chapter 6 of Ephesians. But as I was reading and studying this passage, I became convinced that we are to give an introduction to all this. Because yes, it is true, we are to put on the armor. But there is something we need to learn very quickly and as soon as possible. And before doing anything else, we are to prepare ourselves for this battle. This is what Paul is stating from basically from verse 10 through to 13 before he gets into the details of the armor. So for this day, for today, let us look with God's help how we are to be prepared for this fight against Satan. And then we shall see at another stage how to defend ourselves and how to get into this battle and how to oppose the enemy with the armor of God. So, from verse 10, it might be useful to read it again three few verses. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, what do you learn from these few verses? Well, first of all, that we are to take our strength from the Lord. That's basic. That's the very start of it all. You see, finally, Paul has been spending all this letter speaking about Christ and his work and his blessings given to those who are his people. There has been continual repeated, especially from chapter 1 of this letter. You may remember how many times Paul says, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And so that is you, the Christian. You are found in Christ. You cannot be elsewhere. You should not be elsewhere. If you are a believer, if you are born again, it is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is God's work in you. The Lord Jesus dwelling in your heart by his Spirit. So that is where your strength comes. And that is never to be forgotten. This is our preparation for this spiritual fight. It is, in other words, it is to know that you are weak. It is to know that you yourself alone cannot withstand the devil. Your victory, your strength must be in the Lord. And that is right away already making a challenge for each one of you here. Because if you are not in the Lord, if you are not born again, if the Spirit of Christ does not dwell in you, you are to fear. You are to examine yourself today and think about the spiritual realm and think about what we have read in Acts chapter 19, where Paul is actually described there in this very city of Ephesus. You had a grasp in reading Acts 19 of what society was in Ephesus then. It is the reason why Paul is writing to the Ephesians, to this church, so blessed. Paul says to them, look, you need to fight against the evil one. And you've noticed some people there in Acts 19, they were trying to oppose the evil one. They were going against the spiritual realm. And they had a very bad consequence. The evil one said there, Paul, I know, and you, those who have the Spirit of Christ, I know, but those who are claiming this, I don't know. You are false believers, the evil one said, the spirits said to those people. So, the strength to fight this battle, the way to prepare against Satan and the evil one is to be in Christ. It is to bow down and acknowledge that you are a weak, poor sinner, that you cannot do anything against these spiritual realities. Your heart is bound by Satan. You are born in sin. You cannot free yourself. You are to trust the Lord. And this is already as a start. If anyone may ever think of being curious about the work of Satan and reading about it and thinking that there is anything nice about these things that the world speaks about, it's actually very dangerous. You are to acknowledge that you are, if you are unsaved, you are under the power of the devil and of darkness. And your first true and real preparation is to be found in Christ, is to confess who you are and find your strength in the Lord. God has always put the finger into this. God in His Word is careful all the time to remind His people that He is there to help and to deliver those who are weak, those who are weary, those who are sinners. Isaiah 40, God says, He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. What God has promised all the way through in His revelation is the power of free grace alone. The deliverance and the salvation and the very power of God in the life of the sinner because of His grace and because of what He has done on the cross. You have a good example in the New Testament when you read the letters to Timothy. Here is a young Christian, a very weak in some respect. Humanly speaking, he was quite timid. And he obviously was a young Christian who had to face many new battles. But Paul is quick in advising Timothy here in chapter 2 of his second letter, Paul says to him, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." That's where you are to find your strength. If you are in the battle, or if you ever think of facing Satan and the evil one, you cannot have any hope but in the Lord Jesus Christ. The strength must be His. Paul himself found this lesson of weakness in his own experience. You remember when he was praying the Lord, Paul was praying for the thorn in the flesh that he had, obviously bothered him and made him weak and opposed his work in a certain manner. And when he prayed, he got the answer from the Lord in such a way. 2 Corinthians 12, "He said unto me," Paul writes, "My grace is sufficient for thee, because my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Brethren, I'll ask you, do you feel strong? Do you think you are strong? And if so, why? Writing to the Philippians, Paul will say, in fact, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me." And thank God he didn't omit these words, "through Christ." That is how we are to start and ever think of the Christian battle. We need Christ's power. You and I need to take the Lord as our strength and go to Him at all times. You see, verse 10, this is how Paul concludes his whole speech or letter. He says, "Finally, having said all this, my brethren, with all this affectionate way of delivery," he says, "all I've said, all the theory and all the advice I've been given you so far for the Christian life, it's nothing if you don't take the strength in the Lord and in the power of His might." The power of His might may also be translated the strength of His might. It is Christ, the eternal Son of God, who was there at creation, who has been incarnate, who lived here on earth as a man without sin, that can strengthen you. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. What is this power? Well, the power of Christ, the power of God shown in Christ, is what we have seen at the resurrection. It is the power that works in all believers. After all, you have been born of the Spirit. You are born again by the power of God. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't born yourself spiritually. But God, in His power, with the power of the Holy Spirit, gave life to you. Born of the Spirit, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. You are alive because of Christ. Just a few pages back in chapter 3, Paul is confirming all this as he is exhorting these believers at Ephesus. He says at one point, "Of whom the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that ye would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. This is Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus, that they may be given the strength of the Holy Spirit in the inner man. It is within you that Christ will work and has promised to work. You see, each one of us is experiencing here on earth the aging of our bodies. You may be a young Christian, you may be have the blessing and the privilege to know the Lord at a young age, and you may feel stronger as you look your own body. But as you grow older, you see your body getting frailer and your strength going away. And you realize how, humanly speaking, weaker and weak you are, but not so in the inner man. You see, that's the reverse. The blessing and the hope and the promise of God is that through the Spirit of Christ, your inner man is growing and is getting strength and wisdom more and more as you trust Him and as you rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, the strength of the Lord. Paul said this very clearly in 2 Corinthians, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. What an encouragement this is. So I ask you, brethren, I ask you all here, is your strength in the Lord? Have you lost sight that this must be so? Have you ever thought of bowing down your knee for the first time to the Lord Jesus, confessing that you have realized you have no power to fight Satan, the flesh, and the sin around you? Christ is the answer. So Paul is clear here. Before setting out the armor, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then he begins to encourage and to command, actually. This is the command. This is the second thing. Put on the armor of God. You see, the armor that we are going to look at the end of the chapter, the armor is not your armor. It's not something that you are called to build and to make it yourself. And every one of us is free to make their own armor or find out their own tools to fight this battle. No, this is the armor of God. This is where we are to go. It is what God has provided to each one of His people to win the battle and to stand against the devil. It is not an earthly, physical armor, although the picture is given from a soldier to make us understand what it is and how it works, but it is a spiritual armor. The things that we will see are spiritual realities, not material things. It may be helpful to think of the battle that David had with Goliath. You remember, David defeated Goliath, but David didn't use the armor of Saul. David used the armor of God. He won Goliath with the strength of the Lord, with faith and the righteousness of Christ, facing the giant, running towards him in the strength and in the might of the Lord. So in one sense, David let the armor of Saul down, but David had an armor. He had the armor of God. He had the faith and the trust in the God of Israel to defeat the giant. He has his assurance of salvation, and the righteousness of Christ, the great shepherd, was in him, in David. And so you are commanded to find the strength in the Lord and then to put on this armor. Never make a step without having this armor on. Put on the armor so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, thirdly, what is all this pointing us to? I think it's pretty clear because it's been repeated, I think it's 3-4 times, if not more. It is to stand. Your goal is to keep the ground against the devil. That's all you are asked to do. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Put on the armor of God, so that what? You may be able to stand. Verse 11. Verse 13. That you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14. Stand therefore. That's what you are to aim. To keep the ground, to resist the attacks of the devil, to stand and not to fall and go backward. The wiles of the devil. We have seen already last time how he is so able and strong to make up so many schemes and to bring about all of his, with all of his tools and devices, anything which is possible against your mind and your life and the life of the Church of Christ here in this world. You need to be standing against this enemy, and you can do this only with the strength of the Lord and with his armor on yourself. Stand therefore, because you need to be able not to fall. At when verse 13 gives us a hint in remembering that there is an evil day. Well, of course, all days are evil in one perspective. Since the day of the fall, mankind is in the evil day, and so has been your life. All days are evil in one respect. But it is also true that we are to withstand the devil in the evil day, which means there may be days which are more clearly evil than others. And this is obviously the experience of us all. We may not have a clear explanation why one day we get out of bed, as soon as we open our eyes, things come at us. Right in your mind, even before you put your feet down on the earth. What's this? That may be a very evil day for you, and you don't know the reason. But if you are in Christ, you know that Satan is at you and against you. Well, the Lord is warning all his people, remembering this, that there is no need for you to go around and be so proud with your armor and say, well, I'm going to fight Satan today, I feel so good and I'm fighting against him. But there's no need for this, because he is at you all the time. And there will be even a more evil day where you will need God's armor on. You better get acquainted to this. You better be familiar with God's armor and God's way to withstand the devil. You see, this is repeated so clearly in verse 12 again, lest we never forget, we are wrestling against spiritual realms. We are wrestling against things that we cannot see with our eyes, and yet they are real. These are powers, these are principalities. Satan is often indicated, we have seen last time, is called the prince of this world. And so he's ruling in all the darkness and in the wickedness of the high places in the air of this world. It is against these unseen powers that are very frightening and very powerful but yet already subjugated by Christ with his power. So, brethren, before thinking of the details of the armor, let us bow down and recognize that we are to trust the Lord, that we are to find his strength in us, to remember that he has given this freely, graciously, to all those who humbly call upon his name. Let us remember that the opposition to the devil is a serious thing, and it is real, and you have to look at what has happened to Paul's in Ephesus, in Acts of the Apostles, how the devil's work is so real. But the victory is assured in the Lord. As what happened with Goliath, imagine the scene there in the battlefield. In that battlefield, there was David alone facing the giant. It was David defeating the enemy by the strength of the Lord. But then when you read that at the end of the passage, all Israel shouted and went into the battlefield and ran after the Canaanites. They gathered all the spoil and they conquered most of them as never before. It was because of David's victory. And so it is for you and me. It is Christ's victory. It is by his strength that you can run and face the devil, that you can stand his attacks by putting on God's very armor. May the Lord help us and bless us all.